Yeah, gotta get him quiet. All right. Good afternoon. We'd like to welcome you all to the June 13th, 2023 regular meeting of the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission. And we now call this meeting to order. We'll pause for our invocation and then we'll proceed immediately into the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we ask that you oversee this meeting, impart a spirit of cooperation and collaboration to make sure that we all can make decisions in the good of our community. We ask that you cover each individual that is here under the sound of my voice, and as we leave, traveling back to their destinations to do the things that they are doing for the goodness of the people. These and all things we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And please be seated. Okay. For staff and petitioners and members of the public who are participating, our procedures will be as follows. The agenda is broken into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with staff recommendation and there are no known objections. This will be followed by regular business, old business, and then adjournment. For each agenda item on the regular business, the staff will make a presentation, and the staff's presentation will be followed by a presentation by the petitioner should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allotted a time frame of no more than 20 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for the public comment. If you wish to comment on the item that the board is considering at the time, members of the public that are in person must fill out a speaker card and give that to staff. If you're participating virtually, you'll use the raise your hand feature on your screen. Do not use the raise your hand feature until the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone, and you should unmute your microphone similarly. At the end of the allotted time, as determined by the chair, your microphone will be muted, and the chair will recognize the next speaker. The total public comment time will be equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, it is important that you use the raise your hand feature if you're attending virtually during the hearing on that item, if you want to speak on that petition. Once the floor is closed for public comment on a petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you're not certain you want to speak, still use the raise your hand feature, or if you're in person, fill out a speaker card. You will have the option to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for a rebuttal and then additional needed questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. Just as general housekeeping, if you are here in person, we ask that you mute your cell phones so that we don't have unnecessary disruptions of the flow of the meeting. Thank you. So we'll move to the next item on the agenda, and that would be the approval of the agenda.
Calls motion to approve.
Do I have a second?
Urban, second.
Thank you. Motion made by Mr. Coles and seconded by Mr. Urban. We'll do a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
If I may, Mr. Chairman, I just want to make sure that we note that there was a request by the applicant for Buckhalter Road to postpone or continue the item until the next meeting.
Yeah. As notated in the items requested to remove from the final agenda. So I'll restate that once we get there.
Thanks.
I appreciate it. Okay. So we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. That's notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Those items are, there was today, June the 13th, 2023, a personnel committee meeting was held at 11 a.m. in the Jerry Cerency conference room at 112 East State Street. That is this office. And additionally, there is, we had a finance meeting as well at 11:30 in the Jerry Cerency conference room at this office. Okay. We should be good. We'll do that later. All right. Now we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, and that's items requested to be removed from the final agenda. We have the Tricentennial Comprehensive Plan Amendment Future Land Use Map, referencing 343 Buckhalter Road, petition number 23-002-328-ZA. Next, zoning map amendment, petition number 23-001-408-ZA at 810 East Broad Street, 613 to 6223 East Gwinnett Street, 610 to 614 East Bolton Street, and as a rezone from TC2 to DX. Next, we have the map amendment at 309, 311, 313, 315, 323, 325, 331, 335, and 343. Buckhalter Road is a rezone from RA-CO to IL. That petition number is 23-000-304-ZA. Next, we have a map amendment, 6 parcels on Durin Avenue, and as a rezone from RSF6 to a OI-E, and the petition number is 23-000-304-ZA. And that concludes our items requested to be removed from the final agenda. We have a motion to remove those items.
Cole's motion to remove items 3 through 6.
Do we have a second?
Irvin, second.
All right. Motion made by Mr. Coles and second by Mr. Irvin to remove those items from the agenda. If there's no discussion on that, we'll take action and we'll do a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Okay. So now we'll move on to the next item of the agenda, and that is items requested to be removed. There are none listed. Next, we'll move into the consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation and for which no known objections have been identified nor anticipated by staff. Any objections raised at the meeting will result in that item being moved to the regular agenda. At a 1230 briefing, the staff will brief the commission in consent agenda items and, time permitting, regular agenda items. No testimony will be taken from applicants, supporters, or opponents, and no votes will be taken. That's just an FYI on that last piece. So the item on the consent agenda is the approval of the May 23rd, 2023 meeting minutes. Do we have a motion to approve?
Cole's motion to approve the consent agenda.
Do I have a second?
Coleman, second.
Motion made by Mr. Coles and seconded by Mr. Coleman to approve the minutes from the April 23rd, 2023 meeting. If there's no discussion on that motion, we will take action and we'll do a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you. Those of you that were here for any of the items that are listed on the items requested to be removed from the final agenda or items on the consent agenda, you may hang around if you'd like to see the rest of the proceedings, or you're free to go, as we will not be going into any further discussion about those items. All right. Thank you. So we'll move into the old business. There's none listed, and that brings us to our regular agenda. And that is the first item on that the agenda is the zoning map amendment at 1111 Bradley Boulevard, and as a rezone from RA to PUD-IS. And that petition number or file number is Z-0423-000373. Mr. Lotson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The item before you at this time is a request to rezone property at 1111 Bradley Boulevard. The property is approximately 5 acres in size. It's currently zoned residential agriculture in the unincorporated area, and the petitioner is proposing to rezone it to the PUDIS designation, which is Plan Unit Development Institutional. The subject property, which you see highlighted on this vicinity map here, is located approximately 400 feet east of Highway 17, Ogeechee Road. The tract is undeveloped and appears to have never been developed, in fact. This is a closer look at the parcel on this tax map. This is the zoning map that shows the current zoning of the property and the adjacent zoning. As I mentioned, the subject property is zoned RA. The vacant parcel immediately west of the subject property was rezoned from RA to BC in 2018. It is also currently vacant, undeveloped. The property immediately to the east of the subject property is a fire station. That property was rezoned in 2011. And the residential subdivision across Bradley Boulevard, as well as the convenience store at the intersection of Bradley Boulevard and Highway 17 that is on BC, were all zoned in 2008, really pursuant to the development of the neighborhood, which is Bradley Point South, which I'm going to go back here and show you here. So Bradley Point South is at this location. It's a residential neighborhood that includes single-family detached as well as an apartment development at this location. This neighborhood is the Villages at Vallambrosia, which was developed in that same similar phases. The proposed zoning, which is PUDIS, is a little bit of a unique zoning district in the county. It does allow a number of institutional type uses, including cultural facilities, theaters, libraries, churches, schools. It also allows offices, both medical and traditional offices. And interestingly, the last category essentially under the allowed uses is, and I'm going to just quote this from the ordinance, other business uses as approved by the MPC were found to be compatible with the overall development pattern. So what that essentially means is that in this one case, in terms of a zoning district, the Planning Commission has the authority to recommend approval of a use that's not specifically identified in the zoning ordinance. So the petitioner today is requesting that the use that be approved be an indoor sports facility, which is their intention in terms of developing this property. As you see on the zoning map, there's a number of different zoning classifications adjacent to this property. When the petitioner first met with staff, they were proposing to request the BN or neighborhood business zoning classification for the subject property. After our discussion and a cursory review of their proposal, we thought that the proposed district, which is the PUDIS, was a more appropriate zoning classification for this property because it serves more of a transition in lieu of bringing a higher intensity commercial classification into the entry to the neighborhood, you know, further into the entry to the neighborhood. Bradley Boulevard really serves only as a spine road for the uses that are down here, which are those residential neighborhoods that we spoke about. Let's see. So the general development pattern in the broader area is on this side of Bradley Boulevard is primarily residential. I'm sorry, this side of Highway 17. The other side is more of a mix of uses in terms of there are some commercial, some other institutional uses, and some multifamily residential. Staff found that with the subject property being adjacent to commercial zoning and institutional uses and being located at a point in the neighborhood that would not impact the residential portion, the PUDIS zoning is an appropriate zoning designation for that classification. And that also based on the fact that the PUDIS has some unique development standards requirements for that district. For example, within that zoning district, a 25-foot natural or landscape buffer has to be provided adjacent to all exterior subdivision lines, excluding the street frontage. And where adjacent to residential, it requires 50 feet. So it is a unique zoning classification. We think it serves as an appropriate transition between the BC at the frontage of Highway 17, which is appropriate, and the adjacent properties as you go down Bradley Boulevard into the neighborhood. So based on the review criteria and consistency with the comp plan, staff recommends approval of the request to rezone the property from RA to PUDIS and approval of the use indoor recreation per section 4-6.611 of the Chatham County Zoning Ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Lotzer. Any questions for staff? Okay, hearing none, we'll hear from the petitioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Harold Yellen. I'm here today on behalf of the petitioner, Beth Leinbarger. Beth is seated directly behind me, and she's the owner of Club Savannah Volleyball, and she's been the owner for approximately 11 years. She's been looking for some time for the right location to teach and train kids between the ages of 8 and 18 from both Savannah and from Richmond Hill. And geographically, this is the perfect location for her off of Highway 17. And from a land use perspective, it's also ideal. And as noted in the staff report, the property is about 5 acres. Take away the wetlands, it's about 3 acres. So there's a lot of room for the site. It's next to a convenience store that was rezoned in 2008. It's next to a fire station that was rezoned in 2011. There is no specific use in the Chatham County ordinance for a volleyball training center. The closest category is indoor sports facility, but we want to give everyone here our assurance. This petition is not for a multi-building sports facility. It's for one building and one building only, and it's to train and educate about volleyball. Mr. Lotzen is absolutely correct. The original petition was a request to be rezoned to BN, and I was not involved in the original petition, but I agree with staff. The BN was not the appropriate zoning classification because of all the other uses that are permitted in the BN. So Beth brought me in to be on her team, and that's not her volleyball team, that's her land use team, and we literally scoured the ordinance looking for the most restrictive zoning classification we could find that would still allow a facility just like this one. And once again, we agree with staff. The PUDIS has very narrowly defined uses. So if any reason we go out, what can remain are a very narrow list of uses. And also from a development standard point of view, very focused, very narrow, tremendous buffers. We feel that this zoning classification, among all others, is the appropriate one. Lastly, we do agree with staff finding the proposed use is consistent with the comprehensive plan future land use map. And for all of these reasons, we would respectfully request approval. Ms. Leinbarger and I are happy to answer any questions y'all may have. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Yellen. Any questions for the petitioner? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Would any member of the public like to speak on this petition? Okay. It seems like we have none virtually or in person. Okay. Thank you. With that being said, we'll entertain a motion.
Cole's motion to approve staff's recommendation.
Urban second.
All right. Motion on the floor made by Mr. Coles and seconded by Mr. Urban to approve staff's recommendation. Any discussion on that motion? All right, hearing none, we'll enter a vote. And Ms. Amick, we're going to start with you. How do you vote?
Oops, you thank you. Hi.
Thanks. Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Urban?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Wildwoody?
Yes.
I vote yes as well. Motion carries and the project is approved. Thank you. Have a good one. All right, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. It's a zoning map amendment at a Geechee Road and Chatham Parkway. It's a rezone from a PUD-BC/CO to RMF2-15. And that petition number is 23-002 721-ZA. Mr. Lassa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The subject property, which is being requested to be rezoned from the PUDBC CO designation to the RMF 215 designation, is near the intersection of Ogeechee Road and Chatham Parkway. As we talked about in the pre-meeting, this is an item that will be familiar to many, as it was brought before you with a petition that was filed in 2021, a different petitioner for the subject property to rezone it at that time to also a multifamily designation, but the property was within the unincorporated area at that time. The staff and the Planning Commission recommended approval of that zoning in 2021. That zoning failed, however, at the County Commission. Subsequently, the current petitioner has has annexed the property into the city of Savannah, and the is requesting rezoning to a multifamily designation. There have been significant changes in this area over the last 15 years in terms of new development, new commercial development, new multifamily development. It's an area that is experiencing significant growth. There have also been other properties annexed. I should mention that the subject property was annexed in July of 2022. The property is approximately 28 acres. It's bounded on the south side by a rail line, which I'll show you here at this location. On the north, it abuts a shopping center. Of course, Chatham Parkway, which it has access to, is here on the east. And on the west, there's essentially undeveloped land. Probably show up better in an aerial in this area, which appears to contain significant wetlands. Generally, in terms of the development pattern in the area, you'll also find one and two family residential, civic uses, churches and schools along this area as well, primarily across Chatham Parkway. The petitioner did provide a concept plan for the proposed rezoning, which includes 9 residential buildings with 39 units each. This site plan has not been presented for review at this time, but only as a concept, and I'll leave that for the petitioner to go into more detail regarding that. In terms of the zoning, the range of uses permitted under the current and proposed zoning are different. The current classification is commercial. It allows primarily for retail, restaurants, hotels, grocery stores, and uses of a similar nature. The proposed zoning would allow multifamily residential and other non-residential uses that are compatible with that. Based on the location, the rezoning of this property we found would not adversely affect the existing uses. Primarily the existing uses that are nearby are the commercial uses between the subject property and Highway 17. They include fast food, some retail services, and other commercial uses, including a paint store adjacent to Chatham Parkway. Staff finds that the zoning proposal is compatible with the present pattern because it is adjacent to these commercial uses, and it also has access to arterial corridors, Ogeechee Road, and Chatham Parkway. The proposed development is consistent with that pattern. There has been an influx of new residential along Highway 17 and new commercial to support that. We find that the proposed zoning is also consistent with the intent of the comprehensive plan and that the development pattern that is proposed is generally similar to those which exist in the area already. There have been at least 5 rezoning requests for multifamily residential in this corridor over the last 3 years. We believe this is due primarily to the availability of large tracts of land in the county. There are fewer and fewer of these kinds of tracts within the most of the city limits of Savannah, but there is a great demand for increased amounts of residential, which is coming to be true both in multifamily and single family. with the subject property currently being zoned commercial and the uses that were allowed therein, we think this is an appropriate and potentially somewhat less intense use than the way the property could be developed under the current zoning. I should mention, as we discussed in the pre-meeting, the access to this property is through existing streets with access to Ogeechee Road and Chatham Parkway at this location. Those streets have been dedicated and are public streets at this time. A couple of things to discuss in terms of the recommendation. We are recommending approval, as we did with our previous petition, to rezone the property. I do want to have a brief discussion about the conditions that we have listed on the staff report. That condition read that the applicant enter into agreement with Chatham County regarding the review of any development plan specific to access to Chatham Parkway and stormwater discharge into any county-maintained stormwater system. Just to clarify, the access issue has been addressed, we feel, because these streets are now dedicated and they are public streets, which abut the petitioner's property, so they do have access to those streets. So we don't believe that that is necessary in terms of being a condition at this stage. Regarding the discharge into the stormwater system, that really came out of a conversation that was had during the original petition when the property was in the unincorporated area with county engineering and the previous petitioner. The issue was that the county was concerned that if the property was annexed and the applicant wanted to discharge into the county system, that they ensured that there would be some review process to manage that. Now, in the normal development process, any applicant doing any development is going to have to get the approval of the governing body regardless in terms of the discharge into their system. So this was really probably based on an abundance of caution, but whether the applicant discharges into the city system, they have to get approval from the city engineer. If they're going to discharge into the county system, they'll have to get approval from the county engineer. So I just wanted to bring that point up. I feel like based on those issues being addressed, if the board moves to approve this, that issue, both of those issues are essentially taken care of. But I just wanted to put that on the record. I know that there was some discussion between staff and the applicant and the county regarding this prior to the meeting. So with that, we are recommending approval to rezone the property, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lotson. Are there any questions for staff? Okay. Hearing none, we'll hear from the petitioner.
For the record, Robert McCorkle here on behalf of the petitioner Madison Capital Group. Shed a little tear today, as today is that may be the last time I have a staff report from Marcus Lotson, so I don't want to be up here for the last time without thanking Marcus for his service to this organization and to the city of Savannah and to Chatham County throughout his career. He has been an outstanding professional to work with and has been an absolute pleasure and incredibly responsive for petitioners and people from the city that are trying to get work done in the city and in the county. And so to that, I thank him, although he would be mad at me for saying that. Madison Capital Group, my clients here today, as well as a representative from our engineer, Thompson Hutton. They're a multifamily developer with communities throughout the Southeast, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina. You may be familiar with them or remember that we were here in February of 2022 for a project for them for the redevelopment of the Sears building and parking lot at the Oglethorpe Mall for a multifamily development. That project was approved by the MPC as well as the City of Savannah, and I'm happy to say that the building permits were issued, I believe, as of yesterday, and that project is going to begin construction for multifamily apartment units on Abercorn next month. Similar to the way that that project is surrounded by a lot of commercial, this project is also surrounded by commercial, being on the corner of Ogeechee Road and Chatham Parkway. The 28 acres is located behind other commercial existing businesses. There's a new Taco Bell. There's a new Dunkin' Donuts. Sherwin-Williams paint store is right there, I believe, was talked about in the pre-meeting. It also backs up to, as you can see here on a conceptual plan, to a railroad track as well as a portion of Chatham Parkway, although our property is not accessed directly on Chatham Parkway in that location. On the 28 acres, what we're proposing is 9 buildings, three-story buildings. That's a total of 351 units. We'll have multiple amenities on the site, as well as the property will be fenced. And the property, as Marcus mentioned, is accessed by public roads. At the time when this originally went through the camp for the county rezoning, the access was through easements that ultimately were going to have roads constructed and submitted to the city. One of the requirements that MPC put on that original recommendation for approval that the MPC approved unanimously was that there be access to both Ogeechee Road and to Chatham Parkway for this site and not just one or the other. That has been done. Those public roads exist. Preston Drive leads to the site, which you can see here. This is Preston Drive, which leads back to the site. This is Woodspring Drive, which leads out to a right-in, right-out on Chatham Parkway right here, not a full-turn intersection. Obviously, there's a median here. And then there is a full-turn intersection here on Ogeechee Road. So that is the nature of the public road access to the property, which currently exists. Every time we're here for a multifamily project, I have to acknowledge, as everyone knows, that the city of Savannah is undergoing a housing shortage of some nearly 10,000 units. This project, along with hopefully many others, will help to supply units for the city. We believe this is a great location for an apartment complex, given how it is adjacent to the railroad and to Chatham Parkway and the way that it backs into the site. It really makes a lot more sense, I think, as a multifamily site than it does as a commercial site, which is probably why the issue has come before you on more than one occasion. As Marcus mentioned, there's been 5 multifamily rezonings, I believe, within the last 3 years in the area. So, like all over the place, whenever you have commercial development and you have access to grocery stores and businesses and places to work, the rooftops come, and that's what we're here for today. The request is for RMF 215. This is consistent with the other multifamily projects that have been rezoned in the area that are also RMF 215. We believe, as Marcus mentioned, that this request is really a downzoning. It removes some fairly intense uses that are permitted under the old county ordinance here, including truck stops, warehouses and flex warehouse space, liquor stores, hotels over 75 rooms, heavy equipment sales and services, transportation, dispatch, and storage. All those uses are permitted on the site currently. We believe that rezoning to multifamily will help create really ultimately probably more green space, less trucks, and ultimately less traffic. We had Thomas and Hutton do a traffic analysis based on car counts through their manual. And I just put this up there for you to see. We're really this first group here, which is 3-story apartments for 351 units showing 2,366 trips. And you'll see here the probably the most common, more likely uses that will be made, ignore the multifamily second housing one. But for whether it's a business park or an office park or a shopping center, which would be the worst at about 7,500 trips a day, or a strip retail plaza you'll see here, which is about the same number of trips we'll have, but that's only for a singular 40,000 square foot plaza, which we can put more than that on this site. But if it's a combination of uses, you're likely to have hundreds or thousands of more trips as it's currently zoned than you are if we rezone it to a multifamily and have 351 apartment units there or some. I realize we don't have to build it exactly as we drew it, but with the density of 15 units per acre, they're somewhat limited to how many units we'd be able to get in, and we think that's a real number. You know, ultimately, this property is going to be developed. The infrastructure has been constructed. The infrastructure is in place. The question is, what's better for the site? What's better for the city to have a multifamily housing development there that creates much-needed housing stock? Or, you know, more office or more commercial, consistent with what else is in the area. We believe, as noted by staff, that multifamily is a good use here and is a better use that fills a need for the city. As staff mentioned, they do not believe that this use will adversely impact any of the surrounding uses. We don't really have any immediate neighbors based on the way the thing is, the property sits. It's compatible with the present zoning pattern as well as the future land use map. It's consistent with the intent of the comprehensive plan, as mentioned, and that there are reasonable uses as it currently exists. These uses are also reasonable and fill a bare void. So with all of that, we support staff's recommendation for approval. I do want to mention the condition, which I think Marcus has removed as a condition, but I did just want to say we've talked about this. We got the staff report yesterday, so there's been a little bit of scrambling around on my part over this for the last 36 hours. And when this originally came through, there were two conditions when it was approved before. One was that the property have access to Chatham Parkway and Ogeechee Road. That's been resolved. The second one originally back in 2021 was that we, in the review process for our site plan, engaged with the county with regard to stormwater. That already is the process. I've confirmed this with Thomas and Hutton. We drain into the canals. We have to go to and submit our plans to the county engineering to approve. We are going to do that. I do want to make note, we already do drain into the canal. The property already drains into the canal. As is shown here, we intend to have lots of detention ponds on the site, and so we will be retaining surcharging water before we go into the canal, and we are going to have either the same amount of water that's already being discharged, or we'll have to have less. We believe that ultimately we will end up having less by the time it gets there. But when we go through that site plan process, we will submit to county engineering for approval. I would, as I believe Marcus has acknowledged, very much not like it to be a condition on our zoning, because that becomes complicated, where our zoning then goes away and we would be able to build a commercial development but not a residential development depending on what happens with our stormwater. And so I just say all that to say it's going to be addressed. I'm putting it on the record. If we're going to drain into those canals, we are going to county engineering. We will engage them with our plans and get approval of our plans before we can move forward with our site plan with the city. And so with that, we support staff's recommendation to ask for your approval.
Thank you, Mr. McCorkle. Any questions for the petitioner? All right. Hearing none, is there any member of the public that's online that would like to speak? Okay. I have a Dory Clark. If you would state your name for the record.
Hi, I'm Dory Clark, and I am one of the owners and residents of Redgate Farms. We share a border to the eastern side of this property. Unfortunately, I didn't get to talk to the staffers before this. We just sort of missed that it was coming up on the agenda on our radar, so I didn't get a chance to talk with him to include any of this. But we just had some concerns that we wanted to see if, and it sounded like from our discussions casually with them that our concerns may be being addressed due to other reasons, such as its proximity to the railroad and maybe other bodies of water, but we just wanted to get them on the record in hopes that maybe you guys could include them as a condition. So there are twofold. One of them is a buffer of trees to remain between our properties, and then also fencing, which I just heard Attorney McCorkle mention, that I think sounded like it would be a requirement, so maybe that will be addressed. But regarding the trees, so we are, as I think most of you know, since we've been in here recently, we're an established commercial business. We conduct outdoor weddings and events, and currently, as you know, this adjoining property is a commercial property, and so it could receive sound up to 65 decibels. If it's changed to a residential, then the sound that it could receive would be only up to 50 decibels after 7 p.m. Most of our events do occur from about 7 to 10 at night. And so although there is some distance between where our events occur and maybe where these buildings would exist, it is across a pond, which has a tendency to sort of amplify as it moves across that body of water. And then if there are no trees left, then it will just deliver right into these residents' homes. So we feel that if we left the existing tall trees, and we need them tall because, again, these buildings are 3 to 4 stories high, it looks like, and to keep that vegetative buffer in place, the tall trees, the underbrush, don't go in there, you know, an underbrush, but having that buffer, you know, along that entire property will not only protect those future residents, but also us from potential sound complaints that we've never had to date. And then I think the only, so outside of the buffer, we just, again, we would ask that if it was not, if we did it to not underbrush it, which I think happens in a lot of cases, and then during the clearing and building phase that maybe some sort of orange fencing be put up or something, because we've seen on other projects that they have accidentally gone into that and start cutting, and before you can, you see what happens, the trees are gone, and once they're gone, you can't undo that. So just that that be protected in some way. Regarding the fence, again, it sounds like it would be addressed, but our concerns are just there are bodies of water, there are railroad tracks. This complex would undoubtedly have many children, and so to, you know, for their safety, to make sure that they are not coming across those tracks and or, you know, attracted to these bodies of water, that fencing be placed around the property. And then also on this current map, they have like their dumpsters and things up to the border. If they left a buffer, right now where it places a dumpster, it is directly behind one of our venues. And so aesthetically, obviously that would not be pleasing. And also that can be loud when the trucks are coming to empty those. I don't know if you guys have seen that happen, but Murphy's Law tells us that will probably happen right when someone's going to say, I do. So, but we think that that could be protected, again, if just a buffer of some trees was left there and they just aren't clear-cutted and building right up to the border of the property. And I think that was it.
All right. Thank you. Are there any other member of the public that wishes to speak on this petition? Okay. Would the petitioner like to respond to public comment?
Briefly, thank you. We're going to address most of the things that were mentioned at site plan, not for the zoning purposes. We will have buffering and trees that will remain. I will note that the rear yard setback in the city is larger than the rear yard setback in the county. And so as we go through this rezoning, we'll also have to have a larger setback than we did currently. As she mentioned, sound that will come from our project is actually reduced by it being rezoned to residential, and we'll be getting rid of a lot of potential uses that I think would be significantly worse neighbors, possibly than a residential apartment complex will be. And so we intend to be good neighbors. Like I said, we are going to have a fence as far as the safety issues are concerned. And I don't believe there's any buffers or fences on the other side, on their side, but on our side, we will have them, and we'll address all of that at site plan.
That works. And I think as far as the sound, I think I understood it properly. I think it was a twofold sound coming from you guys and a sound coming to you guys. I think that was one of the positions that she took to say, hey, let's keep a denser vegetative buffer so that they could be good neighbors as well. So I just wanted to capture that.
All right. About the dumpster?
You guys. Mr. McCorkle.
If I could ask you, there was an issue or question raised about the dumpster, placement of the dumpster. Could you address that, please?
I'm not even sure on this conceptual plan where the dumpster is shown.
It's one midway near the railroad tracks, maybe a third of the way. And then there's one at the bottom left corner as well.
Yeah, again, it's conceptual. Yeah. Any dumpster we do will have to be screened. Nobody wants all their residents looking at the dumpster necessarily. So, again, we intend to save as many trees as we can. We'll have buffers and setbacks. Once we get to the site plan, we'll know exactly where everything will go.
All right, thank you. Okay. That concludes the public comment portion. So we'll go into the board taking action.
I have a question for staff.
You have a question for staff?
Yeah.
Mr. Larson.
Mr. McCorkle mentioned that they were wanting to do away with the one condition. Is staff okay with that condition being removed?
Well, let me say this about the conditions. The first condition regarding the traffic access kind of takes care of itself in our opinion, because the streets are now public. They have access to them. So that's not a concern. Second condition was really related to for them working with Chatham County in terms of the stormwater if they discharge into their system. I don't think it's necessary that be a condition. Like I said before, that really was placed there out of an abundance of caution because of the discussion at the previous hearing, but they're going to be required to do that regardless when they go through the development process if this gets adopted by the mayor and alderman. So from a condition standpoint, it's probably not necessary, but I did think it was important to have the discussion about it in today's meeting.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Melder.
I agree with staff's current opinion on the condition. My only concern is maybe how the condition is worded. Obviously, any development that requires tie-in to any public infrastructure system, whether it be the county, the city, or otherwise, it's going to have to get those tie-ins approved by those bodies through site review. And those bodies would have to agree to it. What I'm worried about, and perhaps it's not a meaningful concern, is the way that it's worded says that the applicant needs to enter into an agreement with Chatham County. If they don't need to enter into an agreement, one, or two, Chatham County doesn't enter into an agreement and some way the development is able to make other discharge plans, then would this rezoning be applicable, or because it didn't meet the line of this condition, would it have to come back to rezoning? So that's my concern. I think it seems clear that the intent of this condition is just to ensure and give the proper assurances that the developer will do the necessary work to make sure that all of these issues are addressed, which is already part of the process. I just wouldn't want to arbitrarily give a condition that would have to require this to come back to rezoning, since it is being significantly downzoned and seems like a fairly positive project.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Lawson, I got a question for you in the vein of what was just proposed by Mr. Melder. Just wanted to be 100% clear of the purpose of the rezoning, and that is for the density, correct, and the use.
And the use, yes.
Okay, and not necessarily.
It's not permitted under the current zoning.
So not necessarily to partially for the stormwater and such, correct?
Correct, yes, sir.
All right. So essentially my understanding is if condition number one is going to resolve itself and that the petitioner is going to be bound to the site plan review and without approval, they couldn't do this. Like,
right.
Then they should be basically moot conditions and essentially removed, correct?
I think that's reasonable.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're all 100% clear on what it is so that before we go into a motion, just to make sure that everybody's certain of what the intent is and what we're hearing the petitioner is bound to anyway.
Right.
All right. Thank you. We'll entertain a motion.
Coles make a motion to approve SAS recommendation without conditions.
Got a motion on the floor.
Coleman second.
Thank you. Motion on the floor made by Mr. Coles and seconded by Mr. Coleman to approve SAS recommendations without conditions. Is there any discussion on that motion? Okay. Hearing none, we'll go into a vote. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Irvin?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Wildwoody?
Yes.
I two vote yes, and that motion carries, and it is approved without conditions. Thank you. Okay, we'll go to the next item on the agenda, and that is presentations. There are none listed. However, I would like to take the liberty as chair to welcome some new team members and essentially offer up a farewell to another team member. I want to welcome our new board member, Ms. Tracy Amick. She is a real estate agent and she serves as a board member of the Southbridge Canterbury HOA. She is a county appointee and she is filling the term of Dr. Malik Watkins, who is no longer on the board with us. And then I also would like to welcome some team members to the MPC staff, Mr. Edward Morrow. He'll be coming on. He's on board as a principal planner, with some bringing us some experience and some education from Georgia Tech and Morehouse. And then we have Anna McQuarrie. And she's going to be helping out with the MPO. And she is coming from UNC Chapel Hill, correct? And UGA. All right. So I just want to take that moment to welcome you all and let the public know we have some new team members. You see some new faces. They'll be working with some other folks.
And if I can, we also have one of our interns here, which is, I'm just going to call her Miss Dara, because I don't want to mess up her first name.
Okay.
But she's here from the University of Champaign, or University of Illinois, Champaign-Urbana.
Okay.
And is going to be working with the MPO on transportation related matters. So we're excited to have her on the team too. She'll be with us until mid-August as an intern. So we're really fortunate to have her come as well.
Good deal. Welcome. And then lastly, as we've been, what's that? Yeah, I'm not. Lastly, we're going to, as we've heard in all these different forums, Mr. McCorkle took the opportunity to acknowledge Mr. Lotson is going to be going on to, I won't say greener pastures. He'll be going on to other activities. No, I'm just kidding. he's going to go venture off into some different things to further expand what he's already been able to build upon as a professional. I think Mr. Lotson came in right after I was an intern here, so he's been around for a while because I interned a long time ago, and I've only seen positive work from him. And all of the people that I've talked to in the development community has really appreciated the way Mr. Lotson stays professional at all times, holds the line. Even some of the development community has even said they don't even really know where Mr. Lotson actually stays, where he stands, because he's straight down the middle of the road. It's either ordinance or it's not. And, you know, that is something to really be said for. It's something really to be said for that, because you often hear from a public face that it seems as if sometimes people on commissions and boards and such have ulterior motives, so they can go either way. And Mr. Lotson has held the line right down the middle of the road. So, you know, as the chair, and I'm sure other members may want to offer up some comments as well, we appreciate the work you've done. We're happy that you're not going too far away. We'll see you at restaurants, see you in the neighborhood, and probably going to be picking on you anyway as time goes by, because we'll be calling to ask for some expertise. And we'll hope that you're just super receptive to delivering said expertise. If anybody else want to make a comment.
If I may, Mr. Chair, I would be remiss if I did not say this. Marcus was one of the first people that I encountered when I joined this board. And when I was thrust into the limelight of being a chairman, one of the voices that was always calm in the back when I would go and talk to him would be Mr. Lotson. Always calm, always reassuring. Always same even-handed. Even when he got angry, you didn't know he was truly angry. He expressed himself in such a way. And one of my fondest memories is our trip to, was it New Orleans? And I got to hang out with him. He's a cool dude. He's a cool dude. Very laid back. He let, you know, he let the tie down a little bit. But Marcus, you will be missed. Godspeed to you. I'm going to miss you personally. I always walk into this building looking to see you. Even though I might not stick my head in your office as often as I used to, I look to see you because you're that reassuring beacon that reminds me everything's going to be all right. So, Marcus, I miss you, and I look forward to seeing you around, okay?
Anyone else? All right.
Just want to – two things, and I know you probably will – but I definitely don't want to forget about the announcement for the next meeting date for the people in the audience. But, you know, as executive director, I will say that it was really reassuring. I had met Marcus earlier on another occasion when I was in Augusta. We were looking at some things that the city had done regarding beer gardens. And it was really interesting to come down and talk with both he and Gary Plumley about some of the ordinance changes that were needed in order to move forward with that. He has been a consummate professional. We've had great discussions on different land use issues. I think we both have learned from each other over the 5+ years that he's been, or at least that I've been here. And I'm glad that he's not going too terribly far. So I'm sure that, we'll be bumping into him, as we're dealing with, the implementation side further on some of the rezoning, and subdivision issues that you all vote on. So, we will be having a reception for him after this. So anybody in the audience that wants to say and, wish Marcus well, please feel free to do so. And just wanted to publicly thank Marcus for all of the work that he's done.
Thank you. Mr. Melder.
Thank you. And just to pile on to Marcus, I know that City Council, and I was able to thank him when he made his last presentation last week. But I do echo comments of the executive director. Marcus is a consummate professional and a great public servant. And by that virtue, he is helped to raise the work and the success and the excellence of everybody at the City of Savannah who's had the pleasure to work with him. He's made our work easier. He's made our work better. That's a sign of a true leader and a true public servant, and he'll be missed in this role greatly. And we thank him for everything he's done for the City of Savannah, especially, and look forward to working with him in his new capacity, as we always do. Thank you, Marcus.
Thank you. I think that will conclude our presentations. Now we transition into other business. I, as the executive director raised the point, the executive committee got together today with the, to cover several different things, but one of the most important things that we, discussed was moving the July meeting from July to the 6th to Tuesday, July the 11th. For a reasoning of making sure that everybody has the opportunity to attend, considering that July 6th is the week of a holiday. There is some very important business that will be discussed, unless the petitioner were to ask for another continuance, or removal from the final agenda. The petition of the Buckhalter project would be at that meeting. So, again, if in the event that the petitioner does not request that to be removed, the intent is for that to be on the agenda to the now scheduled July 11th, Tuesday, July the 11th, 2023 meeting. Is there any concerns regarding that? Okay. From there, we'll go to, so the board, we've had the opportunity and been asked to provide our feedback on bylaws, so that we can get these bylaws adopted. You all should have, or if you do not have currently, we will issue the markups, the red lines with all of the board members that submitted comment, implemented and integrated, should I say, into the red line version that was previously given to us by staff. We would like to get to a place of presenting that at the July meeting so that we can take action to adopt said red lines and modifications in the first August meeting. So if you would, please, you know, review the information provided so that we can keep this train moving.
And Mr. We have printed copies of information that was submitted by the board members that have submitted information to us, as well as the red line version that incorporated those comments. And they're actually sitting in the room next door. So I know some of you have picked up those packets, but for those of you that came in a little bit later, just know that that's where they're located if you want to have a printed copy of what the changes are thus far based on your comments.
All right. And I just wanted to restate for the record, and Ms. Epstein, you can speak to it. We did have a personnel meeting as well as a finance meeting today. The executive committee got together and discussed the standings and status of those various things. And should there be a need to bring anything else over to the board from that meeting or those meetings, we'll communicate accordingly. Does anybody have anything else? All right. So we don't have an executive session, so we'll move to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn calls.
All right. So moved, and meeting is adjourned.